Good morning, good morning. Will you take out your copy of the scriptures and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12? We're going to look there real quick. The topic of my lesson today is starting spiritual conversations, which you're going to see is a bit of a misnomer. I probably would have better titled it Turning to Spiritual Conversations. Or turning conversation spiritual. It's really going to be the focus of today. But I want to start with something somewhat related, but a little bit of a tangent. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 7, it says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" So my reason for going to that scripture to start this is twofold. First of all, I'm going to confess to you, I deeply struggle with anxiety. When I get up to here to speak to you beforehand and even beginning, I am terribly anxious. And in that, as Paul says here, he boasts in his weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon him. And that's my desire, is that when I stand up here and as I do this, that it wouldn't just be me going through the motions, but that the power of Christ would be upon me and that he would work through this time also for your good as well. And the other part of this, and this is where it becomes very relevant for our conversation today, is how many people in here are anxious when you start or try to start a spiritual conversation with friends, family, or acquaintances or coworkers? Yeah, it is anxiety inducing sometimes. And so we can be assured that Christ will give us strength. That can help us to become more able to go through the difficulties. So, for those of you who don't know me, my name's Ben Grady. I, along with my wife Leo, have been a member of RBC Nashville for about 2 years, a little over 2 years. I've been doing a teen boy Sunday school class centered around developing a devotional Bible reading habit, and have been doing semi-regular street evangelism for a bit over 2 years. And so, it might actually seem strange to confess that I struggle with anxiety. You know, because I go out and I stand on a box sometimes on a street corner and preach the gospel. But to me, that is actually less anxiety inducing than standing up here and doing like a Sunday school. It's kind of strange. I'm different than maybe other people. And for me, walking up to somebody I don't know at all and starting a conversation about Jesus is easier than trying to turn a conversation toward Jesus. So I just want to confess that. So many of you are probably like me. You want to reach others with the gospel, but sometimes you don't know how. When you go out to eat, you want to talk to a waiter or a waitress. When you're on a plane or a bus, you want to strike up a conversation with the person next to you. You're able to talk about the weather, sports, work, your family, and other things, but you struggle transitioning to the gospel. So by a show of hands, How many of you does that describe? You can have normal conversation, but you struggle transitioning to the gospel. Now, is there anybody here who doesn't struggle? It's easy for them to strike up gospel conversation. Well, thank God for you. And I'm saying that with all seriousness. That's praiseworthy. So hopefully this will also encourage you as well. And those of you who don't struggle with it as much, and give you some practical advice and tips. So I want to preface this by saying that I'm not trying to help us get in so that we can do a sneak attack with the gospel. That's not the purpose. The purpose isn't to, like, you know, bait and switch. Like, I want to bait you into a conversation just so that I can get the gospel in there. That's not the purpose. 1 Timothy 1:5, "The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So it's not about a sneak attack of the gospel. My goal isn't to show you how to sneak spiritual things in, but to give you some basic instruction on how to guide conversations toward the gospel out of a true love for the people with whom you're speaking. So I just wanted to put that out in front, because sometimes it can seem like it's, you know, trying to teach you how to artificially construct conversations so that you pretend like you're interested in people just so that you can get the gospel. That's not what I'm trying to put forward this morning. That's not at all. All right, so I want to say that this past week I was sick. I had a stomach bug on Monday, and I spent about 21 hours in bed straight, which, you know, normally you think about that and it's like getting sick sucks, right? Usually. But actually, it was a blessing. It was a blessing because I am usually so busy going from this to that to the other thing to this. You know, so many activities that I don't spend a lot of time meditating and thinking. And this gave me a tremendous opportunity to just think, because Tyler brought up the topic to me. I asked him, you know, what do you think would be most helpful for people? Because I view myself, I believe that God has given me the gift of an evangelist, or that basically in a way, Ephesians 4:11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So my role as an evangelist is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry of evangelism. So I wanted to find out from Tyler what would be most helpful, he felt, for the group here. And he said the topic of today, turning conversations towards spiritual matters. And so, as I've already confessed, that's not my strong suit normally. But by the grace of God, I had a lot of time to sit and think. And so I did this, and I would actually encourage everybody to kind of do this. I'm not talking about the stomach bug. I'm talking about the thinking. So I sat and I thought back to a conversation that I had with a guy on a plane ride. So my wife and I recently went out to Washington State because I have family that lives out in Washington. And we went out to visit them for Thanksgiving. And on the plane ride out there, you know, you're sitting next to somebody for 4.5 hours. It's plenty of time to have a good conversation with somebody. And I thought about, I had sat down next to him. I immediately introduced myself. His name was Kale, like the leafy green, although I don't think it was spelled the same way. And I got into talking to him, and I talked to him about he liked to run, and he was living. He was actually also a Seattle transplant, because I'm from Seattle. He was a Seattle transplant and had his girlfriend over in East Nashville working at a restaurant there, so on and so forth. But I didn't get to the spiritual until just about when we landed. And I didn't know what to do. The Lord hadn't seemed to open a door. So I did what you do when you're from the South. I said, do you guys go to church? And he said, no, because he's not from the South. Not that people from the North don't go to church, but just statistically speaking, there are more people from the South who are churchgoers than North. So then it was kind of like that awkward moment where you've asked a question and you are left not knowing exactly what to say. But I kind of pressed through it and just said, you know, has anyone ever explained to you the gospel? And he said, no. And I said, could I explain the gospel to you? And he said, no. but so even despite that, I did ask later, right before he got off the plane, if I could at least give him a gospel tract. And he said yes. So the reason I put that out there is to say a couple things. First of all, I don't have this down, but one thing I will say that's important is pressing through the difficulties, you know, pressing through when it feels uncomfortable. That's going to be a big topic and a big kind of thing you have to come back to again and again as you get into conversations and try and move them and gear them towards spiritual topics. Is it's going to be uncomfortable. You know, the gospel is by its nature offensive. And so there's going to come a time in almost every conversation where you're going to feel some discomfort. And the purpose is that you're not trying to push things down somebody's throat, but just take the next step, you know, get outside your comfort zone. So to give you a brief overview of the lesson this morning, I want to spend a bit of time on motivation. So the kind of the why, then methodology, the how. And my objective, as I've already said a little bit before, is to give you practical tips and tools, and then especially to encourage you to take those and to start acting, to really go into situations thinking, how can I try and share the gospel through this conversation? All right. So starting with the topic of motivation. So why do I share the gospel? The same sickness that got me thinking about that conversation that I had with Kale on the plane also got me thinking about this question. Why? You know, as a street evangelist, it is all too easy to get focused on the methodology and leave it there. I can tell you firsthand that there have been times that I got up on a box to preach and I had very little concern, true love and concern for the people to whom I was preaching. It was much more about the methodology than about the motivation and having a focus on what's really important. It's almost like a framer getting enamored with the hammer. It's like the purpose isn't swinging the hammer. The purpose is building the house. And it's the same thing with us. So there's a few motivations that I see really standing out. And they're simple. They're not anything complex. The first one's love for God. So because I love God, I have a desire to obey his commandments to make his name known. In John 14:15, he says, if you love me, obey my commandments. In Matthew 28:18-20, the famous Great Commission, he says, go and make disciples. Because I love God, I want to obey his commandments. And because I love God, I want to see others praise him, thank him, and obey him, and so glorify his name. Because that's the purpose and the idea of this all. That's like the vision is, and I would even encourage you, think about this. Revelation. Picture the great multitude from every language and culture and nation and people under heaven, all gathered around the throne praising God. That's the great vision that we're pressing toward in all of our labors, in all of our labors. So then there's the love for others. So we have, since we have a sincere belief in hell, we don't want to see other people there. How are we to love others? The way that we ourselves want to be loved. And that's, I believe, a good way to think about what should I do or how should I approach this person? How would I want to be loved if I were in their position? So if I believe somebody is on the broad road to destruction, Proverbs says, hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. So if we have a sincere belief in hell, we want to prevent other people from going there. Then there's the other side of it, that in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And as Paul said, if there is any comfort in love, if you have experienced these things yourself, you should want other people to experience them. Experiencing the truth, the love of God in their lives, should want other people to experience those things. And the final one, and I don't think that this gets covered necessarily as much, is personal growth and joy. So there's two aspects to that. There's the growth. First of all, as I've already kind of led on this morning, this is a good way of having your heart issues exposed. You know, going out and trying to share the gospel exposes the hidden things of the heart that need to be dealt with. It exposes your pride. Are you really, are your motivations clean? Are you going about out of love for God and love for people? Or are you proud and you have the answers and you want other people to know? And so they expose the hidden things of the heart. But then also, you get questions you can't answer. And friends, that's going to happen. It doesn't matter how much you know. You're going to get questions you can't answer. Don't be afraid of that. You know what? That's a great opportunity for two things. Humility. I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that question. That's not a bad thing to say. That's a show of humility, which is part of the working of the Spirit in believers. And the other part is an opportunity for follow-up. I'm sorry, I don't have the answer to that, but I would love to be able to talk to you about that later. Could we have a conversation about that? So it's a great opportunity for follow-up. And the second part of that is joy. So there's the simple joy of obedience. When we obey the Lord, there's joy in that. When we do the right thing, there's joy in that. But beyond that, there's an encouragement of seeing the Spirit work both in you and in the people you're ministering to, and seeing God's providences. You know, you might go and ask somebody if you can pray for them. And that's your simple way to kind of start a spiritual conversation and also minister to people. And they let it out. They've had stuff on their heart and they need prayer. And so the Lord places you in the right place at the right time in order to see that, to be the person to intercede on their behalf and to experience that providence. And you get to joy in seeing, man, this is amazing how the Lord orchestrates. How, because since he's sovereign over everything, he's constantly interweaving existence according to his sovereign purposes. I want to really briefly go through, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but some wrong motivations. First of all, to win arguments. It's not the purpose. It's not that hard to win an argument in a lot of cases, especially since we have the truth on our side. So if you're able to engage in truth, that's good. We do demolish arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, but our ultimate purpose isn't to win arguments, it's to win people. To show off. Hey guys, look at this. Look at how well I can talk to these people. Self-righteousness. You see a lot of this, unfortunately, in the street evangelism community. There's people who walk around and they have these big posters and say, repent, repent, and you're just sinners, and you just need to stop sinning like we have. So we need to not be going about what we're doing because of self-righteousness. And lastly, only to discharge an obligation. As I said before, obedience is important. Obedience is good. Obedience is right. But love goes beyond the mere framework of obedience. There's that it has a deeper footings, if you will, than just obedience. Now let's get into the meat of it. So technique. So how do I start a spiritual conversation, or how do I turn a conversation towards spiritual things? First, pray. Pray, 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 pray. Pray before you go and wherever you go. So we rely on the Spirit to prepare us and guide us. We rely on the Spirit to prepare hearts and accompany gospel witness with power. In Ephesians 6:19 and 20, Paul says, pray for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. We also should pray wherever we go, because we should be ready at all times, right? Be ready in season and out of season. We might be going to the dentist. We might be going to the grocery store. We might be, there's any number of places that we might be going to. We might be going to our family's house. We might be going to work. And the point is to be ready at any point in time. And so we ought to pray as we go and wherever we go that the Lord would prepare us and that the Lord would lead to us those who have hearts to understand and to receive the things that he's given to us. Secondly, learn to listen. And this is actually something we're going to do an activity on in a second here, and I'm going to discuss more. And then the idea is conversations naturally start on a surface level with an acquaintance. You're going to start with something outwardly, like news, weather, sports, traffic, the line you're currently waiting in, peppermint taste that the dental hygienist is using on the toothpaste as they clean your teeth, just to throw out some examples. And then we go deeper. So first of all, learn to listen. So be interested in the person. So this goes back to that motivation of love for others. And this is something that it can be a struggle. It can be a struggle because we naturally are self-centered people. That's our natural default. And so we really have to look outward and turn our hearts outward and to be interested and focus and be concerned with what's going on with other people. And I think that this is something that is also a focus of prayer. So we need to pray that we'd be interested in other people. Secondly, actively listen and ask questions. And this is something I want to thank Tyler about. Tyler is a very good question asker. If you want to learn how to actively listen and ask questions, hang out with Tyler for a while. Go out with him to lunch and listen to the way he talks to you. Or I was blessed. He's come down to the rescue mission a couple times, and we've been able to have conversations with other people at the table. And I see how he listens and asks questions. Very informative. Very informative. I can see the sincere concern that he has for other people and the way that he asks questions. Because if you're like me, you probably have the tendency to be thinking about the next thing that you're going to say instead of thinking about what the person's saying. Does that ever happen to you when you ask somebody's name? So you ask them their name or they introduce themselves, and instead of paying attention to their name, you're thinking about what you're going to say, with the inevitable result that in 5 seconds you don't remember their name even though they've just said it. This gets us also to talk less about ourselves and focus more on the other person. And here's a rule of thumb. If your conversation doesn't change, even if the person with whom you're speaking isn't paying any attention, you need to change your conversational style. I've been in conversations like this where I could literally tune out and not pay any attention to what was being said, and the conversation wouldn't change because there was no conversation. It was a monologue. And that isn't what we want to do in our conversation. So a lot of spiritual conversation is actually just learning conversation, learning to have good conversations. And questions show people that you are listening and that you're concerned about them, which is important. Pay attention to body language, yours and theirs. Are they interested in this conversation at all? You know, they might be kind of smiling and nodding with, you know, the words that they say to some extent. But like, are they like kind of looking around and, you know, every time you look up to them or at them, they kind of like quickly look back from somewhere else. There's some cues that people give you that they don't want to be in this conversation. I just realized I didn't have this on the slide, but a fifth point, give encouragement. Have any of you seen the interview between Ben Shapiro and John MacArthur? All right. So that's, if you want to hear more or learn more about spiritual conversations, I think that that's a really good one, especially the second half of it, where they talk about the difference between Judaism and Christianity. Toward the end of it, in like the last 10 to 15 minutes, John MacArthur, he looks at Ben. So Ben Shapiro is a conservative, Jewish conservative commentator. John MacArthur is a evangelical Christian pastor. And John MacArthur looks at Ben Shapiro and he says, I see the glory of God in you. I see the glory of God in you and in the way and how intelligent you are. And he compliments him. He compliments him and notes the common grace that he sees in that person. And that's something that we can all take a note from and learn from. No matter who we're talking to, most likely there's some common grace working in them. And that common grace comes from the grace giver, God. And so when we comment on that, it's not flattery. It's we are recognizing what God has put in them. And so I think that that's an important point, and something that we can practice is commenting on other people. All right, activity time. So what I want you to do is take 4 minutes, and what I want you to do, look around and find somebody, preferably somebody you have never talked to before in this room, and go sit with that person. And what we're going to do is an activity. You're going to spend 4 minutes talking to them and learning about them. And you're going to actively listen and you're going to ask questions. And then we're going to start over and they're going to spend 4 minutes talking to you and asking questions. So go look around, find somebody you've never talked to, preferably before. Maybe there isn't anybody you've never talked to, but there's probably some people that you haven't talked to that much. And I'm going to set a timer for 4 minutes. And the goal here is to actively listen and ask questions. All right, guys. So stay where you are. So have a seat wherever you are, because we're going to do another activity in a minute. But I have a few things to say. First of all, you guys rock. You guys rock. That was really, really, really cool to see for so many reasons. Thanks for playing along. That was great. So how many people, by a show of hands, learned something new about somebody this morning? Praise God. See, this is just simple. I mean, just the conversation part of it, that's where, I mean, so much happens. Now, how many people, well, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. So there might have been a little bit of awkwardness, especially when you're first starting. And that's one of the things that's going to happen. There's going to be a little bit of awkwardness. But the key thing is pressing through that, right? And there's great rewards on the other side. All right. So let's talk about now how to go deeper, how we take it from surface talk, things like weather and news and sports and traffic and the line that I'm standing in that's so long. Oh, man, isn't this line long? You know, like, isn't this, I can't believe how long we've been standing in this line. Like, let's talk about this line. Let's talk about how we take it to deeper things like kids and work, leisure activities and church. So that's kind of, that's the next step. And a lot of us still feel comfortable at that level, right? We still feel comfortable talking about those things. It's when we get to the next level, the spiritual talk. That's where we really have a hard time, is when we start talking about God and Jesus and the gospel and salvation. I want to thank Crosswalk. There was actually an article from Crosswalk that kind of gave me these classifications of surface talk, personal talk. They had a third level, a fourth level that was in between 3 and 4 called religious talk. Just talking about kind of church activities, but not really necessarily spirituality, which I didn't find as helpful. I kind of liked keeping it just a 3, so that's why I did that. The idea here is basically we're just coming in at the ground level, I guess that really doesn't work. When you're at the ground level, you don't go deeper. You come in at the ceiling level, you know, and then you work your way down to the basement. We want to just kind of take things deeper a little bit, find out about what's going on in their life, you know, kids, work. And then through that, there's a series of kind of bridges that we can use to spiritual conversations. And let me just say, first of all, this slide, this is not a prescription. This is a suggestion. This is not a prescription. I'm not saying this is what you have to do. This is just a tip or a tool that if it's useful for you, great. If you don't find it to be useful, I completely understand. The point is never to get to a script that I read down. And so I robotically ask you about the news, and then I robotically ask you about your kids and your work. And now I say, and what do you think about God? So I don't want to give you a script, but just some hopefully some suggestions and tools to be able to use along the way. Now for kind of the meat, and that is, what are the bridges that I personally think can be helpful to use in conversations to bridge between that personal, especially, and the spiritual, or from wherever you are. Maybe it's just a bridge straight down from surface talk to spiritual. It's going to depend upon the conversation, how much time you have, who you're talking to, and probably several other things. So the first point would be, or our first potential bridge would be, do you attend church? I know sometimes we feel like that's almost like a faux pas to say that, you know, like that's already, we've gone too far. But it's not, I mean, it's really not anything unusual to ask somebody. And you could even use a personal bridge along with that, you know, like, oh man, at church, they were teaching this great thing. It really affected me. Do you attend church anywhere? So it doesn't have to be a robotic thing. It doesn't have to be wooden. Since it's part of your life, and especially what you do at church, worshiping the Lord, asking somebody else is not in and of itself offensive. And then you can kind of follow along with that. Like, what kind of church is it if they attend church? What do you believe about Jesus? Even if they don't attend church, you could ask that question. Do you mind if I ask your view of the world? So people generally like talking about their views, generally. And so if you put it in a non-loaded way, that you're really, and hopefully you really are curious about their worldview, but usually people, unless they've studied, are not necessarily familiar with the term worldview. So view of the world or view of things might be a way that they can understand it. So you mind if I ask your view of the world? What do you think about, you know, what do you think about where everything came from originally? So you're asking them a question about origins. What do you think about why the world is so messed up? You know, because if they ever watch the news, they won't have a hard time believing that the world is messed up. But we know why the world is messed up. And what do you think about what the purpose of life is? You know, do you ever think, and you could even ask, you ever think about the afterlife? What do you think about, what do you think about the afterlife? This is a big one. Is there anything I can pray for you about? That's a great bridge because it's very, people usually don't get offended if you're asking if there's anything that you can pray for them about. And especially if you've already been talking to them on a personal level, they've told you things about their kids maybe or about their work. You know, is there anything I can pray for you about? It's not an unnatural question. And this is also something that a friend showed me this, and I like to implement it. When I'm at a restaurant, asking the waiter or waitress after they've taken our order, you know, hey, we usually thank God for the food before we eat. Is there anything that I can pray for you about as we pray? And so that's a way that you've opened a door to be able to have a deeper conversation with the waiter or waitress if the Lord gives that opportunity. And then, of course, you actually pray for that. You actually pray for them, preferably right there. If they're willing, you pray with them. If not, you pray for it as you have the opportunity. But the key thing is you never ask for somebody if there's something you can pray for them and then don't pray. You know, we never do that. But in 1 Timothy, Paul says, you know, God desires that we pray for everybody. You know, it's a good thing to pray for everybody. And in this particular season, and this is why I love the fact that I got to do this now, guys, 90% of Americans celebrate Christmas. There is a natural bridge built in right now. For the next 16 days, we have, and even after, I guess, you know, I don't know when Christmas stops in the American economy, but we have a natural bridge built in. So, like, do you have plans for Christmas is not a very offensive question, right? And that's directly built upon the personal level that you've already been talking to them at. What do you think about Christmas? What do you think the meaning of Christmas is? And then working down to why did Jesus come? And so now you're really at gospel level with that. And I want to take a moment. I think it's so important and just talk about the gospel. And a way, this is not the way, but a way to share the gospel. And this is a way that Pastor Stephen introduced me to. It's called Two Ways to Live, and it's by Matthias Media. And it's basically a creation redemption perspective, creation fall redemption perspective on how to share the gospel. So there's illustrations, as you can see, that go along with that. Although those are not the official illustrations because Matthias Media has made sure that there are no images in Google Images that are their official images. So there are, however, these nicely drawn stick figures. So first, God is the ruler of the world, and he created man to rule under him. So we can Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:26, you know, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Then in panel 2, we all reject God and try to run things our own way, but fail. So that you can take that at the level of the beginning, the fall. Adam and Eve rebelled, rejected God's instructions, and essentially made themselves their own God. But then also we all do that personally. We all reject God and try to be the gods of our own lives. Panel 3, that didn't work out so well, and it doesn't work out so well because there's a coming day of judgment. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There's a coming death and judgment for our rebellion. Panel 4, bottom left. In love, God sent his son Jesus as a man. He lived without rebellion, so he lived perfectly under the rule of God. He himself said, I always do what the Father says. He lived without rebellion, but died. And why did he die? To take the punishment for others. Panel 5, Jesus was raised. He was raised for our justification, and he's raised as ruler. And he now, in this time, offers forgiveness and eternal life to all who will repent and trust him and will return as judge. So, and here's one of the key things in a gospel presentation is calling for a response. In panel 6, will you continue in rebellion to God and suffer eternal death, or will you turn and receive eternal life? So this isn't the way to share the gospel. This isn't the only way to share the gospel. It's a way. I think it's a helpful way because it really allows them to see a story that they can hang, you know, what they see currently on. Things are really messed up in the world. Going back to that question, why are things so messed up in the world? Things are messed up in the world because man has rejected God as ruler over him. So that's a way, but if you are familiar with the law and the gospel, that's another way to share the gospel. The key thing is focusing on God's holiness, man's sinfulness, our need for repentance and faith, and calling for a response of repentance and faith. Not just leaving it there. Now I've given you some information. Let me walk away. No, it's what will you do with this information? God commands all men everywhere to repent. All right, get with the same partner now, and we're going to only spend a couple minutes. We'll spend maybe like 3 minutes. And I want you to use one of the bridges. And some of them are really easy. Just, I mean, like asking if anybody has a prayer request. And use one of the bridges. So first, one of the partners will start. And use one of the bridges and move toward a spiritual conversation. And then I know you might not be very familiar, but I just want you to practice. Share the gospel in a way that you know how. Share the gospel in a way that you know how. So use one of the spiritual bridges and then try to share the gospel with the person and then switch. And I know it's going to feel a little difficult. It's a short amount of time, but sometimes we're not going to have a long amount of time. So this just practice. And repetition sometimes can help us to be able to think out ways to do this. So let's spend a few minutes, like 3 minutes, having one partner do it, and then we'll switch and have another 3 minutes for the other partner. All right, guys. Wow. Once again, wow. Let's just everybody give yourselves a hand. Because that was great. That was great. So I just really appreciate you guys once again playing along with that. And I hope that that was helpful also in a number of ways to think about having conversations, starting to gear them towards spiritual things. And also, if you struggled to share the gospel, if you struggled to kind of find the words to put the gospel together in a concise manner, maybe that's start thinking about looking up ways, like maybe if you're interested, I can show you some different ways. The Two Ways to Live, we can make sure you get a copy of The Two Ways to Live if that is something that you think would be helpful for you. Or there's other gospel material I can make sure that you get. Because we all should be able to share the gospel in a clear and concise way. And so if this exposed some weakness there, I would love to help to supplement that. Some final points in finishing. First, the gospel is offensive, but we should avoid offending by our manner. We shouldn't go out of our way to try and offend people. In fact, we should go out of our way to try to not avoid offending them. So Paul said, I become all things to all people, so that by all means some might be saved. But at the same time, we shouldn't compromise the truth to avoid offending. So if somebody is in error on a certain point, you know, and we shouldn't dance around that and try and not bring it up at all so that it doesn't offend them. Our goal and our desire is to guide them towards truth. And so, yeah, Jenna.
How would you recover from, because I've experienced this exactly, like I've like compromised the truth to not offend people because in this world, it's like people just get hurt all the time. But how would you recover from, like, offending someone and exposing them to the truth to, like, just, and I know it's not bad if you offend people, but, like, just how do you make the relationship or the end of the conversation pleasant so they aren't, like, burned, you know, and have a harsher view of God? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, that is a difficult question, and I don't think that there's an easy answer to it. And it's going to depend on if you offended them or if the gospel offended them. If you offended them, I think apologizing and asking for their forgiveness. If the gospel offended them, there's really not much you can do. That's between them and God. You can say, you know, I hope that I didn't offend you. But at the same time, this I believe that this is the truth. And so I'm sorry that it was offensive. That wasn't my intention, but it is the truth, and I love you, and so I want you to know the truth.
Yeah, and I think also making it, like, personal, being like, this is affected, like, this is the truth to me, and I'm living this life, and if you have any, like, relationship with them, like, that can be a testament to it as well, being like, this is the truth that I've experienced, and I'm sorry if it offends you, but I know that, like, it's worked with me, so if that is any consolation to them.
Yeah, my only concern with that is when you say this is the truth to me, it almost makes it seem relative, but we're proclaiming an absolute truth. So I would focus on love, that the reason I'm telling you this is not to offend you. It's because I love you. It's because I believe what I say, and I believe that that Jesus is Savior and he's also Judge. And so I think bringing back love into it, that the motive for our coming to the person and sharing the truth with them is it's in love. And so when they're offended, is letting them know, hey, I love you. And would it be possible, maybe we could sit down and talk about this, and we could look at the Bible, and see, you could know that this isn't just me saying something. So trying to transition it into maybe an opportunity for follow-up, an opportunity for more relationship there, and an opportunity for them to see your concern for them, that it's not just a desire to give truth, but a desire to show love. And ultimately for them to see God's love. Is that good? Okay. So that's a very, very good question. And that comes back to us having the right motivations and doing what we're doing. The second point is we have to push through difficulty and awkwardness. It's going to come. We are going to hit the block of this is going to be awkward. And we have to push through it. You know, because at the end of the day, especially when we go to somebody's funeral, are we going to feel sad that we, you know, brought the gospel to them in an awkward way? Or are we going to feel more sad that we never talked to them about the gospel because we were afraid that it was going to be awkward? And I really believe that it's the latter, that we will be more concerned or more regretful of the things we didn't do in trying to reach people than what we did do. Third, pray. Once again, pray. Pray before we go. We need the Spirit to move. And if the Spirit doesn't move, people will not respond to the gospel. And I forgot to include this on the slide, but I want to point it out. Don't just aim for conversations, aim for discipleship. Jesus didn't say go and convey information. He said go and make disciples. That's our goal at the end of the day, is to see people come into the kingdom, is to see people submit their lives in tangible ways to the Lordship of Christ. So it's one of those things. Somebody doesn't need to prove that they are following Christ by coming to this church. At the same time, if you are their connection with respect to walking with Christ, it's not out of the way to ask them to come to church with you and to be submitting to the Lordship of Christ in tangible ways that you can walk with them alongside. Because if they're going to another church, you can't really walk with them in that. And you want to make sure that they are going to a good Bible-believing church. And so I think that that's where discipleship comes in, walking with them, desiring to walk them and showing this is what the Lord expects of you. You know, baptism, submission to a local church. And so push for a relationship, not just an event. Push for a follow up to this conversation. You know, hey, would it be possible for us to sit down and take a look at the Bible and just meet for coffee? Anything like that pushes towards relationship. And lastly, I know we're a bit over time, here's some homework. You guys have already done great. You've already shown that you can do it. So now go out and ask three people this week if you can pray for them. Ask three people. And you don't just have to walk up to a random person on the street. The point is that this is maybe you're already in a conversation. You're already at the personal point. And you ask them, hey, is there anything I can pray for you about? Do that with three people this week. And then come back and let me know how it went, because I really would be interested and I would almost guarantee you, if you go and ask three people if you can pray for them this week, that there's going to be some cool things that are going to come out of those conversations. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these brothers and sisters, Lord. Thank you so much for the truth that you've given to us, Lord, that, you have given us the gospel of the everlasting kingdom. You've given us the gospel of the everlasting Lord. And we want to be faithful with the trust that you've given to us. And so we pray that you would make us willing. Lord, for as Paul said, if we do this willingly, then we have a reward. But even if not willingly, stewardship has been committed to us, Lord. So we just pray that you would enable us, empower us, and go before us by your Spirit to make your name famous. In Christ's name, amen.